So Rick, the Let It Be, and then we have the Bible study. Hey Jude. So we're just bringing the Beatles back? Is that what's going on here? Okay. I'm just trying to make sure I'm on the right page with what's going on. Thank you all very much. Appreciate that very much. And again, thank you, George, for giving leadership to that. Appreciate that as well. I'm not sure how many of you remember, you know, your world history. Don't you just love it when a minister decides to just talk to you about history? But I want to talk to you about history because we're talking about Ephesians. Ephesians, a letter written for the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a city. In Ephesus, the neat thing, if you like history, and if you don't, this is the boring part where you fall asleep. The neat thing about Ephesus was it was kind of a gateway city. If you're familiar with the way things worked at that time, okay? So you have Rome, all right, Rome's over here, and then, you know, the boot and all of that, okay? And then over here, this country is Greece, okay? All right, and on the eastern border of Greece, you have Athens, and then you have the Aegean Sea. If you've ever been around the Greek islands on all of that, you take off from Athens, okay? And you go straight across the sea to Ephesus. All right, see, Ephesus was this great gateway. So people from the east came to Ephesus because that's how you could get to Greece and get on to Rome. People from Rome and Greece came to Ephesus because that's how you got to Asia. And if you're a trader, you got merchandise, you got to travel, you're going back and forth. Ephesus was a place where there was every language, every culture, every nation, all of them collected there because they're all coming and going. It was like it was like Liberty Island, okay? It was just like a great place for all these people to gather. That was what Ephesus was. And there was in all of that a church that had a mixture of all these different people, all these different cultures, all these different languages, all coming together through the unity of God. Through the unity of God's Spirit. You see, we're living now in troubling times. We see nothing but divisiveness and hatred going on. And that's why this letter now is so important. It reminds us that as the church, we can be the unifying force that brings hope to people. People watch the news and they shake their heads thinking things are only getting worse and worse. And we have an opportunity to remind people that God's gift of diversity is a gift meant to be celebrated, an opportunity for us to be able to affirm how God is working through all people, through all situations, to be able to celebrate that. Especially important when living in fearful times. I remember a story about a woman, young woman at the time, who was going to New York for the first time. Had never been to New York City before. It was strange to her. She'd been given specific instructions about which subway to go to which spot and how to get around. How many of you have been on a subway? Whoa. Well, I have not. How many have been to New York City? I have not. So I'm not even, I don't know, why am I telling you a story you already know? So anyways, apparently you can get lost, all right? I don't know how you can get lost on a train, but she got lost on the subway, got off at the wrong station, wrong end of the city, wrong part of town, keeps trying to make a different choice, and every choice she can tell is leading her further and further away from where she needs to be and closer to danger, and she's becoming fearful. A young woman, alone, frightened, not sure how to get to where she needs to go. She goes, and I saw a nun. Some of you might remember back in the day, nuns had they called them a habit, a special uniform that they would wear when they were out. And she saw a nun. And she said, immediately I felt a sense of peace. I was reminded of God's presence. I knew that so long as there was a nun around, nothing bad could happen to me. Hope. That's what that nun gave, and the nun didn't even know she was doing it, just by the clothing that she wore. As Christians, God has called us and united us. Remember, this is a a letter, it's not written to ministers. People hear the word call and they think, oh, you're talking about ministers. Ministers are called, and yes, ministers are called, but in this case, Paul's writing to all Christians. All Christians are called. All Christians are gifted. And that's what we celebrate in the church, to understand that we don't have to wear a special uniform. I don't have to wear a coat and tie. I don't have to wear a nun habit in order to be able to give hope to people. That's what all of us are able to do. Through the unity of God's Spirit and the grace that God pours upon us, we wear a uniform of grace that is able to help people when they're frightened. Years ago, I remember, I think I've shared this story with you before. A man had dementia. The family was trying to keep him at home. He got out. Not sure, but he got out, wandered away from the house, from the street, from the neighborhood. He was discovered in a park. Phone call made. The daughter comes to the park, sees the man, comes up to him, and begins to lead him home. And as she's walking with him, it becomes very evident that he no longer knows who she is. And as they're walking, she stops and says, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And frightened and scared, he looks down, chews and gnaws on his lip, and then looks her in the eye and says, No, I really don't. But I know that you love me. That's going to make it okay." Amen. When people look at us, are they able to sense that we love them? Are they able to sense that we care for them? Are they able to see that we indeed are vessels of God's compassion and God's grace? Are we bringing hope to them in a way when they're so frightened and fearful and sometimes lost and they don't know where they are and they don't know how to get to where they want to be? And we can oftentimes, as Christians, called by God, clothed in the grace given to us by Jesus Christ, we are able to bring them hope. We are able to give them grace, remind them that they are creations of God's love, called to be celebrated. That's what we do. It's not about the clothing that we wear. It's about the spirit that God has put upon us and our willingness to wear that out in a world where there is so much darkness. We can bring light. We can bring hope. We can bring love. We bring God's grace. Years and years ago in Kansas, family-run hotel, used to be, not a chain, just an old hotel. Back in the days before there was air conditioning all the time and everything, this hotel in the summertime, front doors are open, I let the fresh air in, fresh air in. There was on this marble floor a young girl, about 20 years old. She had no family. Her parents were dead, no siblings, no one to care for her. And she had been working for them since she was 16. The owner, the manager of the hotel, had no respect for her, always treated her badly. Always. "Don't forget to get the cobwebs off the chandelier. Don't forget to polish the banister. Sheets in 22 need to be changed." Just like, nang, 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 nang. You know, kind of like your boss on steroids. It just, nothing is ever good enough. Nothing is ever clean enough. Nothing is ever happy enough. She got, as a part of her pay, she got to stay in the small corner room. She stayed there, little box with her clothes in it, little shampoo samples. But every morning she'd just get up, tie her hair up in a rag, just put on the little house coat, grab her mop, grab her bucket. "Don't forget to do it. Don't forget to do it." In summertime when the doors were open, she'd be on her hands and knees scrubbing the marble floor. It had a beautiful marble floor. When the boys in their pickup trucks would come by real slow and yell rude and ugly things to her while she was on the floor scrubbing. That was her life. Every day, the exact same thing. Every morning, tie your hair up in a rag, grab your mop, grab your bucket. Every day. Except this one day. This one day, a stranger comes walking into the lobby, new to the town, had never been there before. He sees her and he approaches her and he says, "Excuse me, ma'am. I'm looking for a man named Taylor. Taylor, he lives at 316 West Oak, and I seem to have lost my way. I can't seem to find Oak Street. I don't know where he lives. I'm new to the town. I don't know..." Oh, my land, look at this floor. I travel a lot. I have never seen a marble floor shine so... I'm sorry. He said, "Oh, my goodness, look at this floor. I have never seen... I know your boss must be proud of... I'm looking for a man named Taylor. I'm sorry. He lives at 316 West... Oh, my God, look at this banister. That mahogany looks like it could be on fire. It's glowing so red. You wax that every day. That just... I'm sorry. I'm looking for a man named Taylor. He lives at 316... What? Oh, my gosh. You mean to tell me that you dust that chandelier? I travel... I have never... If I have to stay the night, you can know it will be... I have never seen such a clean, beautiful, glowing... Your boss must be so proud of you. I'm so sorry, ma'am. I'm looking for a man named Taylor. He lives at 316 West Oak. And she just looks at him, jaw to the floor. But that night, she goes through her box of clothes and brings out a pale yellow dress that she hasn't worn in years. She goes to the little cigar box that has the shampoo samples and brings out a yellow ribbon for her hair. Opens up the shampoo and smells. Oh, yes. I'll have to wash my hair tomorrow. I'm wearing that dress tomorrow. What's happened to her? What's happened to her? You know what's happened to her. Because you have been that man. Just a word from a gifted and gracious person. You make all the difference. Every single time you allow God's grace to give expression in your life, you give hope to the world, you give transformation to people, and you bring light out of their darkness. You bring healing out of their pain. You bring hope and healing and love and understanding. The very last act of grace is when we ourselves are made gracious. That's what Paul's reminding us. We have been called and gifted. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, understanding that God, as the Father of all people, created all people, intends for all people to live as one. And we now, so important to be that voice of unity, to be that voice of grace, to be that voice that brings love and understanding. Did you ever watch the movie Ice Age? Ice Age. You ever see that movie with the mammoth? All right, remember Manny the mammoth, and you have Sid the sloth, remember, and the saber tooth. All right, Diego. Remember all that? All right. So I want you to imagine that if you've never seen the movie. All right. So you have a mammoth. All right, who is surly and wants nothing to do with anybody. All right, all the animals going in one direction for the migration. He's going in the opposite direction. He doesn't want anything to do with anybody. That's Manny. And then you have Sid the sloth. Hello, he's a sloth. He doesn't want to have anything to do with anything because he's a sloth. Okay? He's lazy. He doesn't want to walk. He doesn't want to do anything. But he's in danger, and he recognizes that if he hangs out with a mammoth, ain't nobody going to mess with him. All right? So he decides that he's going to tag along with them. All right? So and then you have this saber-toothed tiger. Those three become a herd. They have nothing in common. They don't have nothing in common except this: a purpose, a goal. Through unfortunate circumstances, a baby, a human baby, has come under their care. And they have taken it upon themselves to renew, to reunite this vulnerable, frightened, lost human back to his tribe. They know where it will be. And they begin a journey of danger and challenges and obstacles in order to bring a baby which is lost back in reunion with its family. And in that movie, we see how this very strange herd is able to come together, united not by the way they look, not by what they think, but by their purpose. We are the church, united not by the way we think, not the way we look, but by our purpose. Amen. To save those who are lost. To be the word of grace. To be the word of hope. To bring lightness. To remind people there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father and Creator of us all. Amen.